Okay. National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Today is September 10th, 1992. We're interviewing Dr. Florence Marcus. This is tape 2, side 1. The interviewer is Gabrielle Denman. The recorder is Shirley Stolzer. Unfortunately, we're doing this interview at the Heritage House. Is that the name of it? Dr. Marcus had an accident and is doing rehabilitation here, but she's coming along very well. Dr. Marcus, we went over your first tape, and we wonder if you knew your grandparents. Did
no,
you ever?
I knew my grandparents.
Yes.
No, I
you
never
did
met.
Not. Okay. Now. Dr. Marcus, you mentioned Dr. B.B. Wexler, and other respondents have also talked about him. Can you tell us a little more about
yes,
him?
Yes, Dr. B.B. Wexler came from Europe and completed his studies in this country to become a physician. He found that in this city, in the country at large, I guess, that it was very difficult to get a Jewish patient admitted to a hospital. And he was an obstetrician. But he was friendly with the Ladies' Aid Society, and they succeeded in building a hospital over on Center Avenue. And then he had no difficulty admitting patients. And then he, other physicians were attracted to the place, and he trained a lot of young men, and then there were young men in other parts of the profession. Now, in those days, there were no residents as we know them today. And so the older men would go to Europe to study with people over there. And one of the places they went for obstetrics was to Dublin.
Dublin.
To Dublin.
In Ireland.
In Ireland. And he spent some time over there, and it was very productive for him. And he was a very fine man, very kindly, and very helpful to a lot of people. And I worked for him for several years. And he has had a brother, Lawrence. I thought maybe some of you may have known. And then he has he has a grandson, B.B. Wexler, and he has nephews. There are two of them. There's a neurologist, and the other young man's an attorney. Well, B.B. is an attorney. And the interesting thing about B.B., who's his grandson, is that Dr. Wexler's birthday was on November 11th, and he had passed away in August. And on November 11th, his daughter-in-law said, "I'm going to have the baby today." And her husband said, "Oh, you just imagine it." So she went into labor and the baby.
On his birthday. So it was his name.
And he was delivered, she was delivered by the doctor at Allegheny General. But I probably won't remember his name now. But he was a very prominent physician and a very good friend of Dr. Wexler.
He apparently was very well known, Dr. Wexler.
Very
now, was well. Was that a private hospital on Center Avenue?
Yes. Before the Ladies' Aid Society got around to raising enough money, he bought a little apartment on Neville Street and developed his own hospital. I was the head nurse.
That was on Neville.
On Neville, and the place still stands. It's now an apartment again.
Is that White House?
It's next to the funeral's name?
Sampson's.
Right next
right.
to
I know
Sampson.
And that was a private hospital.
And that was a private hospital. And in fact, Sampson's came afterwards, and although the neighborhood had not wanted the obstetrical hospital, Much less did they want Samson. Mm-hmm. But finally, Dr. Wexler went to court, and they finally took Samson, and Samson's been there ever since.
That's interesting. So he was really your first mentor, can we say that?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Did you have other mentors early on?
Not really, except Dr. Wexler.
Okay. Okay, now, yes?
Excuse me, the hospital, that Ladies' Hospital Aid opened on Center Avenue.
Yes.
Was it called Montefiore, or was it eventually turned to Montefiore?
I don't remember. My mother was one of the first patients there, but I don't know.
Oh, one more question I have before we go on. You mentioned in the first tape that you made your house calls in Bloomfield on foot, and if it was further, you took the streetcar. Did you ever have a car for house calls?
I later had a car.
When? Do you remember?
Oh, 2 years later.
Okay, and you drove?
Yes.
Okay.
But I used to go by streetcar to the north side and other places.
Wonderful. Okay, now we're up to 1947. You are going to Harvard.
Yes.
To the School of Public Health.
Yes.
To get a degree in?
To get a degree in public
health. In public health.
Okay. And return to work in public health. I didn't know really where. But when I was through, the health department here wanted to employ me.
Can I stop you 1 second?
Yes.
How long was your program at Harvard?
1 year.
1 year.
1 year.
And you got, what was the degree called?
The Master
of Master in Public Health. Okay. And how was it funded?
The what?
How was it funded?
Funded?
Yeah.
I had a partial scholarship from the March of Dimes. And I paid the rest myself.
Okay. So then you returned to Pittsburgh.
I returned to Pittsburgh, but when I came to Pittsburgh, I met a Mr. Anderson from the Public Health Service who recently died. Your husband would have known him, a very prominent tuberculosis man. And he said, I'm going to New York to a meeting. Why don't you come with me?
Was he a physician?
Yes, he was a physician. He was head of the tuberculosis division of the Public Health Service. He says, I'm going to New York to a meeting. Why don't you come with me? I said, I don't know anything about tuberculosis. Well, he said, come along. So I went and I found it very interesting. And I happened to say to him that I always wanted to go to Alaska. He said, I have a job for you right away. So I went to Alaska and stayed 6 months.
With the Public Health
With
Service?
With the Public Health
okay.
Service. And the program was under a man in Chicago. I can't think of his name. It was Solomon or something like that. I never met him. But he ran this BCG program. And
can you tell us what BCG is?
BCG is Bacillus Guerin. I can't think of the last word.
BCG.
Which?
Well, we can look it up.
Yes. Which at the time was only a program for testing for tuberculosis. But now it has become a worldwide piece of research. And they're doing all sorts of things. They're treating malignancies with it. And just doing a number of things. In fact, my doctor here seemed to know all about the latest research he was telling me the other day.
That's interesting. So you went to Alaska. Tell us some unmedical stories about Alaska. Where were you headquartered, and how did this work?
Well, Alaska was set up with either the man or the woman were the teacher. It was with couples. And if the woman was the teacher, the man taught what we used to call slowing. What do they call it? Home. What's the other thing besides? When the girls learn.
Home economics.
Home economics, yeah. And the boys learn something about woodwork.
Woodwork, shop,
woodwork.
Yeah.
And so it was the other way around. Whichever was the teacher, then the other one was the other person. And we stayed at their house when we flew in. The nurse and I would hire a plane, and we would get the material from this man in Chicago, and we would fly into these villages, and the teacher would call the people together, and we would test them. There had been a man by the name of Ivan Goldberg from Philadelphia, and he had been there a few years ago and had tested them, and he wanted us to check and see what the results was of his work. So that was what we did. And it was very interesting. I always wanted to be someplace where nobody knew me. And all of a sudden, I felt terrible. Nobody knew me. I was walking down the street, and this little boy pulled his father's hand, and he says, "There's a stick lady." And I was so happy.
Now, where were you, the team, you and the nurse, where were you stationed? What was your headquarters in Alaska?
Our headquarters was Juneau.
Juneau. That's the capital.
Yes.
Okay. And then you would fly from Juneau?
To these little villages. We would rent planes and fly to the little villages.
My. Now this was what year? 48? Wow. That's a pioneering thing.
That was interesting.
Was it summer or winter?
We went up in August.
So you went through the winter.
It wasn't much. Well, it was a winter, I guess.
That's very
interesting. I'm not sure that I understand. There was... You were the doctor, and then you had a nurse with
yes,
you?
Yes, I had my...
I see.
Yes.
So two of you always went out?
Yes. We always went together.
That's... So you verified the results of the previous...
Yes.
I hate to say experiment.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called.
Whatever. Okay. And the Public Health Service was very anxious for me to stay in the service. Not in tuberculosis, but in maternal and child health. And they were making me all kind of offers. And I laughed. My mother and I both like cold weather. And they were offering us places down in Albuquerque and where it would be so nice and warm for my mother.
Okay, now when you came back from Alaska, what did you do?
I came to Pittsburgh.
Back to Pittsburgh.
And went to work for the then City Health Department shortly after it became the County Health Department. And I was in charge of maternal and child health.
For the City Health Department?
Yeah. And then they were thinking of developing a good psychiatric program, and Dr. McElroy, the dean, had brought Dr. Brogan and Dr. Mirsky, and he was trying to recruit Spock, which I helped him do. In fact, I found a pack of handwritten letters from Spock.
Did you know him before? Did you know Spock before he came?
Never set eyes on him.
Was he already famous? Had he written his definitive book?
He had written the book.
He had written the book. So this was what, about 1949?
Well, 49.
50.
Yeah. In the 50, mm-hmm. And Spock at the time was with the Mayos in Rochester.
And what won him over? You did?
I think I helped.
Right.
I think I helped. Because he had a grandiose ideas about a program. And I didn't think they were so grandiose because I had had those ideas for a long time of how we reached into the different areas of government to reach all the people. And I had talked with the head pediatrician before Spock came and asked if I couldn't have a group of medical students who came to the arsenal and had an experience there to learn about well people and how you dealt with them. And so then Spock came, and I remember at the meeting a doctor asked, "Well, now whose program is this, Spock's or Marcus's?" And the doctor, whose name I don't recall, said, well, I gave the program to Marcus and she can do what she wants with it. Well, I certainly wasn't going to keep the program from Spock. So I turned it over to Spock and we both worked together. Now, I did want to tell you about the arsenal, that a lot of important things came out of there. Margaret McFarlane, who was from Mount Holyoke, the professor of child development, she was there, and she brought Fred Rogers as a student to learn about the children, about children and the observation of children. And that, of course, became very famous. Until her death, she was still a consultant to Fred.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed knowing Fred, and we enjoyed watching him develop. And it was a very fascinating
program. I should say.
And then the person who came as a consultant was Dr. Eric Erickson. And he had just written the book on the child and society. So he was a very, very famous person. And interesting, he had never been to school, never gone to high school. And his stepfather was a pediatrician. And he said he was never going to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. So he came in to be the art teacher for Anna Florence program. And Anna said to him, you know, my father thinks you're great. You ought to be analyzed.
Oh, you mean Anna Freud?
Yeah.
The daughter of...
He came to Anna Freud's to be the art teacher in her kindergarten. And she said, oh, my father thinks you're great. He would like to analyze you. So then... Senior Freud analyzed him, and from then he became one of the greatest analysts in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't that fantastic? Now,
did you get to know him?
Oh, no, knew him very well.
You did?
And he was such a friendly person. I said to him one day that Dr. Spock said, you don't ask any questions to me. Don't ask any questions at the meeting because he won't understand what he's talking about.
Really?
So I told Erickson. He said, you'll understand better than he will, so you ask what he
Now, was Erickson an American?
No. Erickson was from Germany.
From Germany.
And he must have come to this country when he was a late teenager, and he became professor at Harvard. Mm-hmm. You know, all the things he became without a formal education.
That's fantastic.
How long did he remain here?
He came every month as a consultant.
Oh, he'd come once a month.
Yes, he came as a consultant.
To the arsenal.
To the arsenal.
All kinds of things happened.
Oh, the arsenal.
So it was really a pilot community?
Yes.
Total family project. Now, how is Dr. Salk? How was he involved?
Well, now, Dr. Salk's work was aside. It was at the university. And the way we were helpful to Dr. Salk is when he was ready to test his material, we provided the school children and encouraged the parents to have the children tested.
Was that difficult in view of...
No, it wasn't.
Really?
It
were
wasn't
they receptive?
Difficult. They had great confidence in us. And therefore, in what we would recommend. And Dr. Salk was a gentleman. He was just a wonderful man. Even today, when he comes to Pittsburgh, one time I was sitting in an auditorium waiting for him to come in and give a talk. And he came in, he saw me, and he ran up. And he was so glad to see me. And he never comes to Pittsburgh without asking the doctors how I'm getting along.
Oh.
He was just a very fine man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are there other?
Just before you go on, I know Dr. McFarlane was well known for her work. How did you work with her?
Well, I helped to hire her in the first place.
Yes, I understand.
I helped to hire her. And we had seminars with the medical students. The medical students came a half day every day for every week for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then we would have seminars, and Margaret would come and participate the seminars. And Margaret and I became very friendly, of course. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think all morning. She was born and raised in a little town near here. And she lived there until she died recently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of person was she?
She was a very timid person.
She was.
Very timid. And, but very knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. When she said something about a child, you knew that it was so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. What kind of person was Eric Erickson?
Oh, he was wonderful.
Yeah.
He was warm and wonderful. And
was he easy to talk to?
Oh, easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. Easy to talk to. In fact, I'm always amused at the first night that all of these doctors that came to the new program met, I think it was Dr. Spock's house, we all met there. And when the meeting started, they said, we really don't know each other, so each one ought to tell about himself. Mm-hmm. And who will we start with? We'll start with Marcus. Well, you could have hit me with a bomb. All these people I know start with Marcus. So then I began to tell them the story of my life. Mm-hmm. And soon we all became very friendly.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, when Dr. Spock has eventually kind of moved away from this area, and I just wonder if there were any signs when you knew him,
yes,
of the kind of person he was.
He didn't like anybody to tell him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want to do anything himself. He was so slow about getting anything done. And then he would say, why is Marcus mad at me? And the social worker, who was a very prominent girl too, she said, she's not mad at you, but she can't stand people fooling around. She says, if you don't get started, she's going to start the nursery school herself. So then he started it.
And how was it received? Because it was so innovative. How was it received?
Well, it was received, and one of the stipulations I made, that it was not to be the children of professional people, of university people. It was to be children in the neighborhood. And of course, it was well received. Everyone wanted to enroll their kid in this program.
Was it free for the children? Did they have to pay? Or was it funded?
Yes, if they could.
Uh-huh.
If they could.
And that was also at the Arsenal facility?
Yes.
It was
a special building for the nursery school. And it was very well laid out. It had a window, you know, that you see the
one way.
Yeah. And it was a very good school.
How long did it continue, do you know?
It continued, it's still going.
Is it really?
It's still going.
That's fantastic.
You know, Spock became quite a rebel.
Yes.
Was he like that when you knew him?
He showed signs.
That's what I wondered.
He showed signs. Then he went to Case in Chicago. And he called me one Wednesday night after Easter. And he said to me, we want you to come to dinner, tomorrow night. And I said, I can't come tomorrow night. I have appointments. You just cancel your appointments because Jane and I want you to come to dinner. So I drove over to Cleveland. And while I was spending time with her until he came home, she was telling me that it's not a very satisfactory position that he's in a Case.
Mm-hmm.
And that things were not right for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came home, this had to do with my life, the reason I'm telling it to you, he said to me, you know, Florence, you always have done things that you had to do. My mother had recently died, and I had a lot of home things. He said, why don't you do something that you always wanted to do? So on the way home, I said to myself, what did I always want to do? And I said, well, I got into medicine because I always wanted to have a neighborhood clinic of some kind where the people, the poor people in the neighborhood would be served. And so that gave me the idea of Northview Heights. And I asked the welfare department, Mary Janowitz, if she would help me write a request to Public Health Service. So we wrote a request and it was granted for 3 years. But it had to be given through the medical school, or the medical society, because they don't give it at that time anyhow, not to individuals. So then we started the Northview Heights, which is still going, and conducted by Allegheny General Hospital. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the first and one of the best, I can't think of the word, but it was one of the best things.
Neighborhood
to show
clinic,
how you could do a clinic.
Mm-hmm. Is the arsenal still going?
The arsenal is still going.
Yes.
It's part of the health department.
Mm-hmm. Who was the social worker that you say was? Since I'm a social worker, I'm interested
yes,
in
Edith Burt was her name, and her father was professor of philosophy at the University of Ithaca.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a very helpful person and taught us all a lot and brought us together.
Mm-hmm.
And she left then and went on to other things. But she was a very good person.
Yeah.
That was some team. Are there any other names that we should know about?
In the team.
On the team or on subsequent relationships that you had?
This little girl that came in.
Yeah.
She was the secretary. And she worked with the Council of Jewish Women, with the volunteers, to set up the appointments, to make changes when they wanted to make changes. She taught them how to weigh the babies and how to report it. She did a marvelous job with the council.
Say her name for the tape.
Her name?
Yeah.
Thelma Johnson.
Thelma Johnson, okay.
Hmm. Yes, there's nobody that belonged to the council at that time that wouldn't remember Thelma.
Now, you had mentioned on your first tape that in 1967, I believe, you left the arsenal. Is that correct?
I went.
How long did you stay there at the arsenal?
At the arsenal. Well, I was with the health department, so they sent me there in 1951 to take charge of the whole thing and still keep my downtown job. And I stayed there until 1963. At that time, the university, one of the professors, withdrew the students. He thought he could do a better job. So he withdrew the students, and I withdrew myself. And
you mean the residents he withdrew? Did he withdraw the residents?
No, the junior medical students
came to
learn how to deal with a well family.
I see.
And he thought he could do a better job, so he withdrew the students.
Oh.
And so I withdrew and started Northview.
And how long were you there?
I was at Northview for 3 years. The grant was just running out, but I developed a cervical disc and I had surgery, so I withdrew.
Now, obviously, you recovered from your surgery.
I had a heck of a time.
Yeah. And did you continue to work after that?
Oh, yes.
What happened then?
In fact, Mr. Tranzo was head of the housing authority, and he, in the interim, when I was too weak to do much of anything else, he hired me to go to every hospital in Allegheny County and suggest to them that they all start medical centers for their clients.
You mean neighborhood?
Yes, neighborhood centers, clinics. Yes. And I did that, and some of the hospitals started some. Of course, now they all have them. But at that time, some of them started some. I was always well received. And then what happened at the end of that? Now we're up to 19.
Before you go on, when you left the Arsenal, was Dr. Spock or Dr. Erickson still, or Dr. McFarland still participating?
McFarland was there, but the others had gone.
They had gone. They didn't. He was at Case. Spock was at Case. And I guess Dr. Erickson didn't continue.
No, he was at Harvard.
He went on to Harvard.
Salk went to California.
What's that?
Salk.
And Salk went to California.
Started the Salk Institute, yes.
Salk also didn't like administration. He didn't want to have to be bothered to order, as he said, pencils or electric light. He just wanted to do his work.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any more questions?
I just wondered, who was the other fellow that found the TB vaccine very near the time Salk did?
You mean polio vaccine?
Oh. Polio vaccine was Dr.
Yes. Sabin.
Was he here?
No.
Oh, so no. You didn't have anything
to do with him? No, we didn't have anything to do with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, where were we? You were finished. You were going to...